Yay, right? Don't you? Thank you so much. I love it. So this is the last talk of the series for this month, Creating a More Joyful Life. And actually, I think the theme for the month is Creating a Joyful Life, isn't it? In the magazine, I think it's Creating a Joyful Life. We added the more in. And I love that, you know, because what I think is that joy is a quality of God. So we already have it. We're already bringing the joy. We bring it with us when we take form. You know, it is a quality. It exists within us. So really, we're on this journey, and we're figuring out how to demonstrate more joy. And so that's what today's talk is about, is that it is about the journey. Life is the journey, and it's not the destination. It's not about getting there. I don't even know where there is. I don't even know if there is a there. It's about what we do and how we do what we do and how we show up all along the way. Ernest Holmes in Thoughts Are Things said, "The divine presence is already what you are, and it contains the possibility of all joy in living. You should not entertain any thoughts that would limit your experience of the good life. There is nothing in you that can separate you from divine presence. But in many ways, you are able to inhabit its flow through you. The greatest possibility of knowing the love of God, increased joy of living, and greater good in your life is yours for the accepting." It is yours for the accepting. We already are that. So it's about allowing it to live through us. In everything that we do, in every choice that we make, in every circumstance, in every condition we find ourselves, we are free to bring joy to it. We are free to bring joy and other things, you know? I mean, because we have free will. Like next month, this is a great talk leading us into next month, because next month's theme is radical forgiveness. I love it. The whole month dedicated to the F word, yes. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a great ride. But So talking about the journey that we're on is a perfect lead-in to that, because part of our journey is about radical forgiveness. It is about letting go of things, putting stuff down, moving forward, letting ourselves be in the wholeness of the experience that we call life. So with that in mind, let's talk about the journey. Let's talk about the journey, because we have a tendency to postpone happiness until... fill in the blank, right? I'll be happy when I get that job. I'll be happy when I buy that house. I'll be happy when I get that new car. I'll be happy when I have that baby. I'll be happy when that baby goes away to college. I'll be happy when we keep postponing our joy. I'll be happy when I retire. I'll be happy when I move, find the perfect guy, get that new car. Have I said yours yet? Okay. You know, there's always a thing. There's always a thing keeping us, postponing joy in our lives. And we're the only ones doing it. And we must learn that joy is not at the destination. Joy is within us, and we have to bring it to every condition in which we find ourselves. We bring it all along the way. It's not the goal. It's not the end goal. Joy is not the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Joy is not something we get out of life. Joy is something we put into it. See, it's ours, and we need to put it in. Ernest Holmes said, "No living soul can contribute one iota of happiness or peace or health to your life. And no living soul can take one iota away as long as you allow it to flow through you, through your consciousness." So nobody can make you happy. Nobody can take your happiness. It's something that you bring to living. It's something you bring to living by being alive and being immersed in it. You know, next month, Larry and I will be married 30 years. Yeah, really. Amazing, isn't it? Now that is a journey. That's a journey, being married 30 years. And you know, and sometimes I get the question, oh my God, how do you stay happily married all those years? And you know, my answer is, it's not all happy. Sorry, but it's true, you know, not all of the years are happy years, not all of the moments are happy moments. It's not. It's about the journey. It's not all rainbows and champagne, guys, you know. It's not. life goes in circles, not circles, cycles. Life goes in cycles. We spiral up the cycle of life, right? So life occurs in cycles. So there's springs and summers. There are also falls and winters. There's also the time where things lie fallow and the ground is just, it looks desolate and nothing is growing. But we know from being in science of mind that, yeah, things are planted in there. And it may look like nothing's happening, but things are happening. So sometimes in the springs and summers, you feel so close, you know? You finish each other's sentences, and sometimes I want to smother him in his sleep. Honest to God. You know, I'm sorry. But you know what I mean, right? I mean, you know, I... Honestly, you know, there... And the truth, it's on tape. And the truth is, you know, there are times I can't even imagine living life without him. And then there are times where you sit across the table from someone and you go, who the hell is this person? I don't even know who they are, you know? And this is what the journey is about. It's about all of it. It's about all of it. The springs and the summers and the falls and the winters. And I have been thinking about that because it is talking about the journey. And the truth is, you know, people ask, what is the secret? What is the secret to be married for 30 years to the same person? And the answer, after I've been thinking about it for a long time, the answer is, I haven't been married to the same person for 30 years. And neither has he. Because we change all the time. The thing about being in the physical world is we're forever changing and we're forever growing and we're forever evolving, and I am not the same person I was 2 years ago or 10 years ago or 30 years ago, and neither is he. We change and we grow, and being in a relationship that long means that we become the space. We become the space to allow our partner to transform. And that's really what happens in relationships that long. You become the space to allow your partner to grow and to evolve and to change. He's not the same man. I'm not the same woman. You know, and God, wouldn't it be awful if I was? You know, there's an old joke about how women marry men thinking about how they can change him. You know, it's like how they can make him what they want. And men marry women hoping they'll never change. And the fact is, neither one of those things is true. You know, neither one of those things is true. We can't change each other, and yet we are always changing. We're always changing. Ernest Holmes said this, spirit is neither depressed nor sad. If you catch the vision for joy, which should be yours, you must dry your tears, you must lay aside your fears, you must think from the inspirational center within you, which is nothing less than the divine in you singing the song of life. Isn't that lovely? That is exactly what we're doing. We're allowing the divine that is already in us. We didn't put it there. We didn't have to find it. The divine is already in there, and we are allowing it through us to sing the song of life. So it's up to us to bring the joy to the journey. We're all on the journey. It's up to us to bring the joy to the journey. We can co-create a joyful life regardless of conditions. We bring the joy to everything that we do. Nothing outside of us is going to make us happy. No circumstance, no person, no job, no amount of money, no location is going to make us happy. If we're looking to that next relationship, if we're looking to that next job, if we're looking to that next move, to make us happy, we indeed will be sad. Because the happy is something within us that we bring. The joy is within us, and we bring it wherever we go. We get to choose how we will experience life. Is life going to be drudgery, or is life going to be a joy? We get to choose that. You know, we may not consciously know how or when we're going to die, but we sure can choose how we're going to live. We can sure choose how we're going to live. And we can choose to live in such a way that we bring joy to everything, every situation, every circumstance, every condition in which we find ourselves. L.R. Nost said this. He said, life is amazing. and then it's awful. And then it's amazing again. And in between the amazing and the awful is the ordinary, mundane, and routine. Breathe in the amazing, hold on through the awful, relax and exhale during the ordinary. It's just living, heartbreaking, soul-healing, amazing, awful, ordinary life. And it is breathtakingly beautiful. It is breathtakingly beautiful. And that's our journey. Our journey is one of joy if we decide and make that conscious decision to allow it to flow through us. Our path is one of gladness if we allow it to flow through us into the world. Our lives are filled with happiness if we decide it is. Our journey is one of joy if we let it. So, to acknowledge the Pope's visit here in the United States, I thought I would give you his list, Pope Francis's list of the 10 things that he had said he was interviewed in an Argentinian newspaper, I think this past summer, in July it was, and he gave his list of the 10 things that he thinks we can practice in order to lead a happier, more joyful life. And the first one he said is live and let live. Isn't that interesting? There's an oldie, right? There's an oldie but a goodie. Live and let live. And he said, in Rome, in Italian there is a saying, and I don't know how to pronounce it in Italian, but it's translated, move forward and let others do the same. Move forward and let others do the same. And I think there's something wonderful about that and poetic and lovely about that's tied into forgiveness about that. Because when you move forward, you're not the same person you were, and if you're the person you've had conflict with, if you allow them to move forward, they're not the same person that they were. You can see where holding grudges against someone can just dissolve away. When we allow ourselves to evolve and we acknowledge that everyone around us is evolving also, then whatever transpired or whatever the source of the hurt was or the misunderstanding, it doesn't exist anymore because those people don't exist anymore. So I love that. Live and let live. Move forward and allow others to move forward and do the same. The second thing he said was be giving of yourself to others. People need to be just openly generous with their resources. And it's something that we can all practice, and it doesn't mean that it costs us money. Sometimes giving to others is a smile. Or, you know, just holding the door for someone or helping someone with their groceries, whatever. It doesn't necessarily mean giving away everything that you own, but people need to be open and generous because Pope Francis said, when you draw into yourself, you become that egocentric thing, you know, where you think the world sort of revolves around you. You know, here is you, here's the world, you know. And when you get out of yourself and you serve the community and serve others, you realize we're all in it together. That life is an interconnected center of energy. And really, when we're giving to others, we wind up giving to ourselves anyway. Don't you know how you feel so much better when you've done something good? When you serve in some way, we always come away feeling better. So be giving of yourself. The third thing he said was proceed calmly in life. I love that. Proceed. You know all those T-shirts, what does it say? You know, like stay calm and whatever and party on or something. I don't know. And it's true, we need to not overreact to things. We need to not lose our minds and run around and blame everybody else and all that stuff. To just proceed calmly. You know, what happens is things turn out okay, right? We had a practitioner I know at Pacific Church who always used to say, everything turns out all right in the end anyway. And if it looks like it's not turning out, it's not the end. You know, so just proceed calmly, knowing that things unfold, and they always unfold for the highest and best good, because that's what spirit does. So number four, a healthy sense of leisure. And I love this, a healthy sense of leisure. And he went on to say this, consumerism has brought us anxiety. And he told parents to set aside time to play with their children, turn off the TV, and don't do any electronics while you're eating. You know, really have that interaction with others. I know when my kids were little, we used to have kind of like game night, you know, board games. Larry's night is board games. But we would have board games and play things and interact with each other. Low tech, you know, really low tech. So having that healthy sense of leisure and also making time for it, to not make leisure the bottom priority on your list so that you never get to it. Make sure that you spend time in leisure. Number five, he said, this is very funny. He said, Sundays should be holidays. Because Sunday is for family. And I'm like, hey, I have to work on Sunday. You know, that's just wrong. But I understand the idea. There needs to be a Sabbath. There needs to be a Sabbath. You need a day where you unplug. There needs to be a day of rest. It doesn't have to be Sunday. In my case, it's not Sunday, it's Tuesday. But you need a day where you can rest and relax and unplug and do nothing professionally and just spend the time in calm meditation with family, doing something that fills your soul. The Sabbath is all about filling your soul and renewing and reviving and simply reconnecting to the truth of who you are. So it doesn't have to be Sunday, but to have a Sabbath, to have that day in which you just practice self-care. Number six, find innovative ways to create dignified jobs for young people. I thought that was really interesting. So all of you employers out there, think about that one. I don't know, but I love the idea. It says we need to be creative with our young people. If they have no opportunities, of course, they go off and get into trouble other places. So keep thinking about ways in which we can engage the millennials and engage the young people in whatever we're doing and find it exciting and offer them challenges. Number seven, respect and take care of nature. Now, this is probably where he got into big trouble when he addressed Congress. Because he's serious about the climate change challenge, and he really wants to see us do things about it. And he talks about the environmental degradation. It's one of the biggest challenges that we have today. And what he said was, we can do little things in our own lives to make a difference. You know, we can't all of us go to Congress and address Congress like he was able to, but we can do things in our own world that are consciously helping. You know, we're consciously making our little carbon footprint smaller and smaller. Whether you do your own recycling or saving water and all of the above, to be conscious and careful about the good that we have been given. And the earth and the air and the water, that is all part of the good that we've been given. And he said, I think the question we're not asking ourselves isn't humanity committing suicide with indiscriminate and tyrannical use of nature? You know, and maybe we are. Maybe at some point, if we don't change those things, yeah, maybe there will be no more humans. But something will live here. You know, I mean, the earth will still be here. Something else will take over. Number eight, stop being negative. I love that. Needing to talk badly about others indicates low self-esteem. That means I feel so low that instead of picking myself up, I have to cut others down. The Pope said, letting go of negative things quickly is healthy. And I love that idea. You know, we don't have to dwell in the negative. I mean, even Ernest Holmes said when we do our affirmative prayer, right? We don't talk about the condition. We don't dwell in the condition. We don't talk about the stuff that we want to change. We don't think about the stuff that's wrong, quote unquote wrong, in our lives. When we do affirmative prayer, is the very word, affirmative, we're affirming the good. We're affirming the truth. We're affirming what is. Even if we don't see it, we know that God is love, so there's unlimited love in our lives. We know that God is joy, there's unlimited joy in our lives. So we know these things are true, even if we don't see them in the condition right then and there. We can still affirm them. And it's a way of turning away from the negative conditions of our lives. We're not into denial. I'm not like an ostrich sticking my head in the ground. It's not, we don't think that the condition isn't real. Ernest Holmes said, it's as real as it needs to be. It's just as real as it needs to be to get your attention. And then we focus on the truth. That's not the truth of us, that's the condition. The truth of us is we're love, or we're joy, or we're peace. And we do that. Number nine on his little list of 10 things is don't proselytize. Respect others' beliefs. Yay, I love that. You know, Ernest Holmes had been saying that since the day he started this philosophical, inspirational, and spiritual teaching. He had said, I'm not even going to walk across the room to get a client. I'm just going to sit here and know the truth, and people will walk through my door and want and want to hear what I have to say. And that's exactly how he built his practice. It's exactly how he built his Institute of Religious Science, and it's exactly how he built the Center for, well, the Church of Religious Science is what he called it back then. By attraction rather than promotion. You know, you don't have to get on a soapbox and scream and yell and tell everybody what it's all about. They know it by seeing us. They know that your life is working because they see it working. And then they ask you, well, what have you got? Why are you so happy? Why are you so positive? Why? Okay, and then you can go on from there. We inspire others by living our life, not talking about our beliefs. We just inspire people. No need to try to convince anybody of anything. We couldn't anyway, even if we wanted to. So we just go about living our life and letting our faith lead the way, letting our beliefs and our decisions about what we believe is true about life to be something that people see. And they just align with us and they align with it. So number 10, work for peace. And I love that. I think work in peace also. I think be peace. Be peace in the world. Wherever you can be the peace of God in the world, just be that. He said, we are living in a time of many wars. And he said, the call for peace must be shouted. Peace sometimes gives the impression of being quiet, but it's never quiet. Peace is always proactive. So we can do that. We can actively bring peace wherever we are, in whatever situation we find ourselves, whatever condition, whether at work or whether with our families, we can be that agent of peace. Peace is a quality of God, just like everything else, just like love and joy. Peace is a quality of God. We can bring that to every situation in which we find ourselves. We can either escalate conflict or we can be the place of peace. It's our choice. So there's his 10 guides for how to live a happier life. And what I know is that all of them are true. And all of them are attainable by us in our own little part of the world. We don't have to address Congress. I don't think any of us here in this room will be able to. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe you decide that that's a goal and you set that intention, you can. But if we don't, what I do know is that all of these are applicable in our own lives, in our own corner of the world. And we may not change the entire world, but we're going to change our corner of it by our very presence in it. We change the people and places and things around us by our energy, by the energy of love, by the energy of joy, by the energy of peace that we bring to any situation. Ernest Holmes said this in Creative Living. He said, if we could just identify ourselves with life and forget death, with love and forget hate, with joy and forget misery, with peace and forget discord, with abundance and forget limitation, how wonderful life would be. There has to come an awakening. Every human, in the simple integrity of his own individual soul, must learn to meet the universal in exaltation. That's what we're here to do. That's what we're here to do, to live that whole life of spirit in form as us. And it's all God and it's all good. There is no path to joy. Joy is the path. There is no way to get a joyous life. We have to give of ourselves in order to live a joyous life. You want a joyful life? You want a more joyful life? We have to provide it. It's in us, and we have to provide it. Our journey, then, is we must decide that our journey, our personal path, is to be undertaken in joy. With joy in our hearts, expressing joy as our truth. In Discover a Richer Life, Ernest Holmes said, life is not just something to be endured. It is to be lived in joy, in a fullness without limit. We must get rid of the old morbid theological concepts. I place no value on anything unless it brings gladness, love, friendship, the ability to laugh. And it makes me feel that every person I meet, if I knew him or her, I would love them. He or she is as good as I am, having the same heart pattern, having the same bloodstream, and having the same divinity. We want to live a more joyful life. Be joy. Be joy. Thank you.